Well, good morning, friends, and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Kelly S., and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater and bulimic from Tulsa, Oklahoma. Today is Tuesday, August 27, 2024, and this is the 7 a.m. Eastern Time Vision for You meeting. Today, we are reading from the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous, and we are in More About Alcoholism. We are on page 42. We are on the second paragraph down there that says, then they outline the spiritual answer through one paragraph ending, as in fact it proved to be, and comments will be on that one paragraph. So today's readers are 12 Steps, Mary F., 12 Traditions, Susan G., Larry K. is reading the text, Colleen M. reading page 164, and Vanita L. is our backup reader. Newcomer greeter today is Chris W., our second hour host is Christine G. And let's see, the reference numbers for yesterday, Monday, August 26, 2024, in case you missed it, 7 a.m. Eastern Time, 21686, 21686. And the 10 a.m. Eastern Time yesterday, 21687, 21687. OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states, quote, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers, end quote. At a Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. I will now ask Mary F. to read the 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. Good morning, Mary.
Good morning. My name is Mary F. I'm a compulsive eater from Virginia. Here are the steps we took, which are suggested as a program of recovery. One. We admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7. Humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. 8. Made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9. Made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10. Continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11. Sought through prayer and meditation as to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. And 12. Having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to other compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you for allowing me to do service, and I pass.
Thanks, Mary F. And now Susan G. will read the 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. Hey, Susan.
Hey, Kelly. Hey, everybody. This is Susan G. in Tennessee, a recovered compulsive overeater. The 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous are, 1, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups for OA or OA as a whole. 5, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. And 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Susan G. So here is how our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we do ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we're discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our absence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, you'll press star 1 to unmute. Once you're done sharing, let us know by pass, then press star 1 to mute your phone. To have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted. So today, we are resuming our study of the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We are in More About Alcoholism, page 42, second paragraph. Then they outline the spiritual answer through one paragraph ending, as in fact it proved to be. And commenting on that one paragraph, and Larry K. is going to get us started. Good morning, Larry.
Hey, Kelly. Thanks for your service. Larry K., recovered compulsive overeater. Then they outline the spiritual answer and program of action, which 100 of them had followed successfully. Though I had been only a nominal churchman, their proposals were not intellectually hard to swallow. But the program of action, though entirely sensible, was pretty drastic. It meant I would have to throw several lifelong conceptions out of the window. That was not easy. But the moment I made up my mind to go through with the process, I had the curious feeling that my alcoholic condition was relieved, as in fact it proved to be. Okay, so this passage captures a significant moment of transformation where this man, you know, we learned Fred, like so many of us, really grapples with the decision to embrace a fairly revolutionary program for recovery. And now while he was initially resistant, right, due to the drastic nature of the changes required, he experiences relief once he fully commits to this spiritual process. And so what we see here is the unfolding of a shift from struggle to surrender and from surrender to hope. So what's the essence of this spiritual solution suggested? Is it some sort of passive learning? No, what was Fred invited to take, to come to a meeting like a vision for you, to hang out until he loved himself enough? No, he was invited to work the steps or die. That's in essence what he was invited to do. And the good thing is he saw other people working the steps. You know, I don't want to ever forget what the practical program of action is. In our program, the spiritual answer outlined in the text, it revolves around the idea of a higher power, a relationship with the higher power. There's a surrender. So what does this require? Well, acceptance was something it required. A self-inventory was embedded in what was required. Amending the harms he had caused. Requirement. building upon this relationship with the higher power and service to others. I mean, there was things required. And remember, he says, the moment I made up my mind, he makes a decision, right, to go through with the process. He said he had a curious feeling that his alcohol condition was relieved. Past tense, relieved. See, so I've made many decisions and proceeded to avoid the actions that cement those decisions. No decision could be consummated without action. You know, every morning I'm reminded, I read on page 25, the great fact is just this and nothing less, that we, these first 100, have had deep and effective, you know, sustainable spiritual experiences, which have revolutionized our whole attitude toward life, toward our fellows, and towards God's universe, right? So if I'm still eating in the rooms of OA, I've made a decision, the decision to practice the disease. If I'm in the rooms and I'm not working the steps as laid out in the text, I've also made a decision to turn my back on the solution. Two doors. Door number one, the practical program of spiritual action. Door number two, disease. And you know who gets to decide which door to walk through today? You do. You decide. Nobody else decides for you. And for me, this is a decision between life and death. My old life was drastic today. Today, not so drastic.
That's time, Larry.
That sounds like time to me, Kelly. Thanks so much.
Well, thank you so much for getting us started. Wonderful share. All right, so we are now going to open up the meeting for sharing. And although we do value your experience, we ask that you limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So if you shared last Friday or yesterday on any vision meeting, please allow others to share. And okay, I'm ready.
Elise N.
Rachel Elise K.
Tina S.
Melissa.
Rachel.
Melissa.
Elise. Elise N.
I got you, Elise N.
Christina.
Elena C.
Christina. I got you, Melissa.
Elena.
Got you, Elena.
Shanna C.
Shanna C. It's so crazy. I can hear faster than I can write. I have Elise N, Rachel K, Melissa C, I wrote S, what the hell, Melissa C, Tina S, Katie G, Christina J, Elena C, and Shanna C. Did I miss anybody who just said their name? Well, that's a really good lineup. Everybody make sure you're muted, please. Press star 1. And we will start out with Elise N, followed by Rachel K. Good morning, Elise.
Oh, good morning. I just fell. That wasn't good. Can you hear me?
I can. Where are you calling from?
I am calling from Passaic, New Jersey. And I just tumbled and fell and scraped my leg. So I guess that was meant to be. So I'm grateful to be here, to be on this line, and, you know, talking about spiritual experiences. And I'm, you know, finally, after 30 years in this program, I am well enough mentally, spiritually, physically to sponsor other people. You know, it's like, don't quit till the miracle happens. And I have people that really, you know, I've had people that really don't know that they believe in a God. They've seen a lot. They've gone through a lot. And they're not sure God can be there. You know, my father saw 2/3 of his family killed by the Nazis, and he wasn't sure, you know, how could a God let this happen? And so I guess I was just wanted to share that I start with, you know, hey, maybe, you know, it can be in the beginning, the power of the group could be somebody who's gone before you. I don't say to worship these people, but some people that have gone before you that have recovered and that are not picking up the food. And in the beginning, you can just look at that as, you know, somebody that has something more than you have right now. And then you go from there. I work on Invent Your Own God and can call it a higher power, spirit of the universe, karma, you can call it whatever you want. As long as there's something out there that you believe can help you. It's a very, you know, powerful concept. I've had spiritual awakenings in this program. I've had spiritual experiences. It's led me back to my own faith. It is responsible for my life today. My sponsor was on this, heard me on this line. I was desperate. She heard that desperation. I knew her 30 years. She called me and she said, "Are you done with the food?" And I made that decision and I said, yes. Took me two more tries to really get it. And then it's been a while, not sure of the exact amount of days, but she took me through the steps. Took me nine months just to get to step four, which I do not recommend, but I was afraid. And we went through the steps and I said, "How did you put up with me? You know, crying and not doing the steps." And she said, "Well, you know what you weren't doing? You weren't eating Oreo cookies." And, you know, she could help me as long as I wasn't eating. And I'm very, very grateful to this meeting and to the recovery that I hear on this meeting. And I hope at some point that I will be able to go to a conference again. Thank you.
Well, thank you so much, Elise N. from New Jersey. Next up, we have Rachel K., followed by Melissa C. Hey, Rachel.
Oh, thanks, Kelly. Hi, this is Rachel K., compulsive overeater from Indiana. And Elise, I hope your knee is okay. What sticks out to me is the word drastic. And I looked up, because I have it on my Kindle and I can do a word search, and drastic appears 7 times in the first 164 pages. It is a drastic plan of action. I mean, Fred talks about, you know, how it's not hard. It's not really hard to understand, but it is drastic. Yeah. All these ideas that I had about my life, that I was in charge, that life should be fair, that I had to make sure that, you know, people liked me, that was the most important thing, that I had to plan out how things had to go, that I had to be responsible, that I had to make sure that you understood me and you understood my pain. All of those ideas I had to throw to the side. That's pretty drastic, you know, that doing that and doing that every day, that's really drastic. Making God, who, you know, I can't see, I can't prove, you know, making this thing the center of my life and everything rather than nothing, making that decision that either God is everything or God is nothing, and deciding that God is everything, that's drastic. So, you know, when I was in this program for 15 years before I finally recovered and I finally got entirely abstinent by the grace of God. And what did it take? Drastic action, letting go of what people think of me, making other people's welfare rather than my own, my focus, you know, serving God and his children rather than making sure that I got mine, you know, got to make sure I got mine. Nope, making other people and service to others the center of my life. That's pretty drastic. So anyway, yeah, good on you, Fred. That's all I have.
Okay, Rachel. That's Rachel K. from Indiana. Next up, we have Melissa C., followed by Tina S. Good morning, Melissa.
Kelly, thanks so much for your service this morning. My name is Melissa C. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater. I live in New York, and good to hear you on the line. You know, I was thinking a lot. I think I was thinking a lot like Rachel. I was thinking, you know, well, the program of action, you know, the 12 steps, they're not hard to understand. It's not difficult to you know, comprehend it because the directions are clear, but actually following them is the drastic part. You know, it's because I needed to let go of many of my old ideas, you know, and I think, like, Rachel, like, what were my old ideas? You know, well, I had this idea that I could use willpower to control my eating. That was like, that was a mind-blowing thing to let go of, that nope, it was not going to be my willpower, that it was, that willpower was going to have nothing to do anymore with my, you know, success or lack of success in my abstinence. And I had to let go of my concept of diets. You know, I had this concept that you eat a lot less food until you reach a certain weight and then you add the food back. And actually, this program sort of proved to be the opposite, because what I require at half my body weight is less than what I required at twice it. So, you know, that's like a very basic one. But, you know, the idea that my happiness was dependent on my circumstances, I thought that happy was based on what was going on in my life. And I had to kind of put that idea away, or even that my job was to make sure that I was happy, you know, and that things that were difficult were to be avoided, and that I couldn't be happy if it was hard. And what I've come to find out is that, no, actually, if I live in agreement with God's will, basically doing what I believe my Creator would have me do, it actually doesn't prove to make me uncomfortable in the end. I'm actually more comfortable. You know, and so for me, when I surrendered and decided that I was willing to do anything to get well, and I remember reaching that point, like, I didn't care anymore what I was being asked to do, because I say I was in that sweet spot where I was ready to take action. And I do feel like, you know, people talk about that pink cloud, and they say, oh, you know, it'll go away. Not necessarily, you know. I feel like I took the action, and the problem really has been removed. And with that, I'll pass. Thanks.
Thank you so much, Melissa C. From New York. Next up, we have Tina S. followed by Katie G. Good morning, Tina.
Thanks so much, Kelly, for your service. Tina S., recovered compulsive eater, anorexic in Florida. Wow, what a great meeting. Wonderful shares. Thank you, thank you, thank you. And, you know, I am just so on board, you know, so on board. And what really catches me is then they outline the spiritual answer and program of action, which 100 of them had followed successfully. By the time I got there, I just like was breathing a sigh of relief. You know, by the time I got there, you know, I was willing to do whatever. And, you know, people have shared that, you know, but, you know, one of the things is that I had tried everything else. I had done all the stuff that I thought I could do, you know, and this idea of, putting out, to throw several lifelong conceptions out of the window, I was scared for sure. But I also know that they didn't work. They didn't work. You know, so then I was willing to do what other people had done. You know, I wanted what they had, you know, and so I, you know, by this time I had already been to OA, had already, you know, tried working the steps. I love the word tried. I wasn't doing anything with the steps. You know, I thought I could just get it from you by sitting next to you. But this time I was like, okay, let me just try this thing. Let me just do what they're doing and see what happens, you know. And so by the time that I made up my mind to go through with the process, you know, I did have this feeling of, okay, maybe this is it. Maybe this is it. Let's wait and see. And so what does happen through the process and the transformation of working the 12 steps is I become a different person, you know, and I no longer want to be that same person that I was. So I continue to do what I'm doing, you know, so that I'm continually changed. And that I think, and I love somebody talked about, you know, where I think of other people instead of myself. Because when I got here, many times, that's all I was thinking about, what can I get? And today, not so much. You know, I kind of think of what can I give? What can I bring to the table today? And what a great meeting, and I'm really looking forward to more shares. So with that, I'll pass. Thanks.
Well, thank you so much, Tina S. from Florida. If everybody can make sure they're muted, it's not a background noise, so just press star one, make sure you're muted. And then we will get started with Katie G., followed by Christina J. Good morning, Katie.
Hey, Kelly, thanks for your service, and Gosh, what a phenomenal meeting, huh? You know, that the spiritual answer and program of action, which 100 of them had followed successfully. You know, for me, I grew up believing if I could just eat enough sugar and flour and be thin, then I would be okay. And when I first found out that people in the rooms of OA put down, and I can still hear people talking, put down sugar.
Katie, press star one.
That is hysterical. Okay, so Kelly, can you tell me where I'm out of no, or I'll just start again. I'll just
start again.
Pretend I know. I'll just start again. This is Katie G, and I'm recovered for today, locking myself in the bathroom door. Okay, good morning, everyone. This is Katie G. So one of the things I said is that when I first found out that people in the rooms of OA didn't eat flour and sugar, I thought, how lame are you? Like, how lame is it that at the end of your life, you know, you're going to say you missed out on cake and cookies and hot fudge sundaes. Like this, like, if I get to where I'm going and they tell me that I could have had flour and I could have had sugar, I'm kind of okay with it because I've lived a life that I have wanted to live. And as everybody has been telling us, it's based on such different lifelong conceptions. Like, I grew up thinking that I had to live my life based on getting what I want when I wanted it. I had to live my life being the thinnest girl in the room, right? And today, it's like everybody has said, how can I best serve these? I will not mine be done. And for me, you know, I came into the rooms of OA thinking that I had done my time, right? That all the hard things that needed to happen had happened to me already. And I'm a please love me-aholic. I'm a I don't want to feel bad all the time. And I can tell you, like, I can stand here and tell you about this program of action. But do you know what's hard? Is to ask myself, am I willing to question daily my willingness to be willing? So yeah, so I can talk to you about what it means to live in step 10, step 11, and step 12, but am I willing to go to any lengths? Am I willing when things are not going my way? Am I willing when, you know, surgery is happening or the kids are being diagnosed with different things? Am I still willing? Are you still willing, Katie, when you're uncomfortable? Are you still willing when life is just happening? Are you still willing to follow that program of action? And you know what? Part of it is putting the food on the scale. I know it sounds silly, but for me, part of it is, you know, going to any lengths for my abstinence, because this is, you know, I have to be abstinent in order to get to God. And I love that this is a spiritual solution and program of action. You know, I get to get up in the morning, get on my knees, say the first three steps, take quiet time with God, commit my food, commit my writing, do my step work, and work with all of you. How can I best serve thee? Thy will not mine be done. I get to be an agent for God today, and that's who I want to be. I remember when I first came into OA 20 years ago, I looked around the room and I thought, oh my goodness, this is a bunch of, you know, crazy people. And you know what? I cannot tell you. I could not live my life without you. I am 45, and if you told me tomorrow that I had to leave OA, I wouldn't know what to do, not because I'm dependent on any of you, but because you guys gave me a life and you gave me a God.
Katie, that's time.
My wildest dreams. And with that, I do pass. Thanks, Kel.
Thanks, Katie G. from Boston, Mass. And next up, we have Christina J., followed by Elena C. Good morning, Christina.
Good morning, Kelly. Christina J. in North Carolina. What lifelong conception kept me from the spiritual answer? What lifelong conception? That food was love. That food was relief. That food would help my feelings. That food would help me get through the day. On and on and on. I came in 2014. It took me until just about 5 months ago now to finally feel that I had made up my mind to go through the process fully without any more first bites. And the curious feeling that I have now that my alcoholic food addiction
is relieved. So far, it's proving to be. But I've got to keep close to that spiritual answer by working this program. It was only with God's grace that I was able to make up my mind. Because I can't make up my mind about this disease. I don't know how long Fred had been in program. I think this was Fred or whoever it was. Sorry, I work a lot and I don't keep up on every meeting and what who's what and where. I just go paragraph by paragraph. But I don't know how long, but he seems to me that he was lucky. He had two people come in pretty quickly. It took me years before I was, you know, I had people come. Once I got into vision, I really had people helping me and I reached out and all that stuff. But what was the moment that really now turned me around was the moment that I made a call when the bite was right there waiting, and the bite wanted me, when my discomfort was so impossible to deal with. That was the moment that God's grace came in and said, make the call. There had been 100, maybe even 1,000 other times that I had not made that call. Oh, yeah, okay, I'll make the call later. Coming out of a drugstore with bags and boxes of Easter candies and all this stuff, and a fellow was calling me right then. It was God's grace trying to get me, but I was like, nope, too late, I'm eating, you know. So we got to stay with it. And as we stay with it, that spiritual answer comes. I think about, like, people who come into program, they don't want to have God. They don't want anything to do with God. They, you know, what's a spiritual solution? I don't get it. I don't understand it. And that's the key, is for us to say, for me to say at least, keep taking the steps. One step at a time, and you'll get there. We don't have to worry about the end result. One step at a time is the hope. The fellows is the hope. The meetings are the hope. You keep listening, you keep hearing, you keep growing. And I have grown so much in 10 years since I've been here. I have had massive things happen to me, things with my mother, my body, death, all this stuff. And sure, I've eaten through some of it, but now I'm living in a lot of it, and I'm not eating. I don't have a desire to eat because I know the first bite won't do it. That's the lifelong conception that I finally have let go of. Thank you for letting me share.
That's kind, Christina. Perfect timing. All right, that was Christina J. from North Carolina. Before we move on, let me remind everybody or let you know where we're at. We are in the Big Book, of course, More About Alcoholism, page 42, second paragraph. Then they outline the spiritual answer through that one paragraph ending with, as in fact it proved to be. And we will move on with Elena C., followed by Shanna C. Good morning, Elena.
Good morning, moderator. Good morning, everyone. My name is Elena C. from Greenville, South Carolina, recovered today. Wow, thank you so much for your comments. Amazing people, amazing comments that keep me want to come back. So I was struck by, it was a drastic, the program of action, entirely sensible. It was drastic. What that means to me is that I had to make a turnaround, a complete turnaround, okay, like 180 degrees. Because this is my lifelong conception where, you know, thought patterns, beliefs that I had that were deeply ingrained within my being, within my brain functioning, that created behaviors that such as I'm justifying why I'm pissed at you. You know, I'm going to do something to piss you, to make you mad, that I'm going to blame you. I'm going to not, I have no idea that I did something wrong. And so all of this created some feelings that were very hard to feel, yet I had no idea how to get unstuck without this program of action. And here comes the promise. The moment I make up my mind to go through, the moment I made up my mind to go through with the process, I had a curious feeling that my alcoholic condition was relieved, as in fact it proved to be. The curious feeling, kind of like a premonition. Oh my God, I think that's what it is. That's what's gonna be. And I relate to that. the moment I decided to turn my life and my will over to my higher power, not only my food, hey, you know, food, once I got the phenomenal craving and I eliminated my triggering foods, I got food neutrality, and then that was a piece of cake. But the deeper thing was my life and my will, because my ego and my will and everything else was running the show for me and other people in my life. I did not let God ever to take charge. And that's what, you know, that is a turnaround. And I knew that that might be possible for me because I heard that it was possible for you. And it's proven to be possible. It's proven to be possible that I'm living this life of mine today in a way that is just beyond my wildest dream. Are there struggles? Am I suffering? And am I in pain? Of course. But the thing is, it's not supposed to be easy. Everything
that
we cherish is not supposed to be easy, because that's how we grow. That's how we find gifts in what happens to us that are challenging. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you for listening.
Thank you so much, Elena C. from South Carolina. Next up, we'll have Shanna C., and then we'll be opening up for more shares. Good morning, Shanna.
Good morning. This is Shanna C., grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater from Tennessee, and recovered through God's grace and this simple program of action. It's a design for living that I found that really works. And without getting too frothy and emotional, which I tend to get teary-eyed on here, and I hate it, but I'm great. I just like, because I'm so, like, grateful. But anyway, all right, so down to the nuts and bolts and mechanics, which is where I had to be. Because when I first, all right, first of all, thank you, God, that God's power doesn't diminish based on whether I'm abstinent or not. Like, God's going to be God whether I'm abstinent or not. And I know that for me, looking back, especially over the course of my recovery, I can see that there has been a power at work in my life long before I got abstinent. So, you know, the idea that I've got to do this or do that in order to allow God to do whatever, that's me putting limits on God. That's a limiting belief that I've had that I had to let go of. Like, God's God. And whatever you want to call it, you know, and it's kind of like this for me too. One thing that really helped me is this disease doesn't discriminate, right? Like, I can have all the money in the world. I could be male, female, whatever, compulsive overeating. There are all kinds of us from different backgrounds, different cultures, different whatever. Good childhood, bad childhood. If I have the allergy of the body, there are certain ingredients that I cannot put in my body without developing the phenomenon of craving, regardless of what the circumstances. And if I have, you know, that mental obsession, meaning I'm going to continue to tell myself I can't, or I can control it this time, even though experience shows that I can't, because I keep forgetting those times that I can't, and I don't have enough power to stop myself when the thoughts come that say, you probably shouldn't eat that. So I need the power, right? Also, I've learned to, thank you, God, and thanks to the people who've shown me, is that this process doesn't discriminate either. And so breaking it all the way down, by the time I got here, I'd had plenty of spiritual experiences that absolutely showed me that for me, that there is a power, knows who I am, and loves me. But those spiritual experiences weren't enough to relieve the obsession of the mind and enable me to recover. What happened for me, so I had to set all those aside and be willing to take funky mechanical direction, follow these things. Because if I'm honest with you, I didn't know how to trust a person. I didn't know how to trust this God, even though I totally believed that it was real and good for me. The directions, when I followed them, somehow I was able to keep all that at an arm's length and just trust the process that when I'm following these directions that I outlined in this book, I am actively giving my will and life over to the care of and direction of a power greater than me. And that's all I needed to make that beginning. And so lastly, before I run out of time, the paragraph on page 62, correlates. The last paragraph on page 62 correlates. Most good ideas are simple. And this concept was the keystone of the new and triumphant arch through which we pass to freedom. All right, that's it. Thanks.
Thanks, Shanna C. from Tennessee. All right, guys, so we're going to open up the meeting again. So if you shared last Friday or yesterday on any vision meeting, please step back to let others share. So who would like to share on today's paragraph?
Jennifer C.
Jennifer C. and Pete B. That's who all I got.
Patrick O.
North Carolina.
Patrick O.
Israel.
A male voice from North Carolina. Who is the male voice?
Justin C.
Devora S.
Amy S.
Reuven H. Israel.
Reuven H.
Did you get the Devora
S? Here's who I got. Let's stop. I did, but I don't have a lot of time for you. Here's who I got. So if you guys can press star one, probably don't have room for all these people or time. Jennifer C., Pete B., Patrick O., Justin C., Amy S., Reuven H., and Devora S. So let's get started with Jennifer C., followed by Pete B. Good morning, Jennifer.
Good morning, Jennifer C., recovered Greenville, South Carolina. So grateful to be here this morning with all of you. So drastic, crazy drastic, this disease had me by the throat. And the amount of food that I can eat in the middle of a binge got more and more drastic. And I kept telling myself that it wasn't that bad. That's the other drastic thing about this disease, is that it convinces me that it's not that bad, right? Because we hear people on the line and we hear the drastic stories and we say, well, I'm not that bad, so maybe I don't have to weigh and measure everything I eat, right? Like, maybe I don't have to commit my food, because that's pretty drastic. Like, telling somebody else every single day what I'm going to eat, how drastic is that? Putting food on a scale at every meal, that is so drastic. Like, I don't need to do that. Calling people every single day, whether I feel like it or not, that's way too drastic. Maybe I can find a softer way to do this and still be abstinent. And this disease has to get so drastic in my life that I become fully convinced that I'm going to die. And only then am I really willing to say, okay, I'm all in. Because the alternative is so drastic that I don't have any other choice. I don't do this work because I'm a saint. I know this book tells me that it has benefits for all, but all don't do it because it's not drastic enough for them to be all in. Like, it's not painful enough. And it becomes so painful for me that I have to be all in. And by the time I am, I really want to be, because the alternative is so bad. So yes, is weighing and measuring my food drastic? 100%. Telling somebody else what I'm going to eat every day? 100% drastic. Having to start my day every single day in prayer because I need direction, like I need air. Pretty drastic. But you know what? The alternative, I never want to go back. And the only way that I'm never going to have to go back is when I make this program and my relationship with God central every single day, whether I feel like it or not. And I do this work as outlined in the book. And you know what's interesting is that it goes into the drastic nature right after it talks about the jaywalker, right? We read that story of the jaywalker. Like, how drastic is that? Like, it's almost comical with that they gave us that description of the alcoholic, but that is who we are. And until I really believe that that is who I am, I'm not willing to go to any lengths to get well. But thank you, God, for the drastic nature of all of this. And even, you know, we hear each other say grateful compulsive overeater. I'm a grateful. And I used to hear that when I was in the food and be like, there's no way you're grateful. I'm grateful today because if it didn't get so bad, it wouldn't be so good today. And with that, I pass.
Thank you so much, Jennifer C. from South Carolina. And next up, Pete B. followed by Patrick O. Good morning, Pete.
Good morning, Kelly. Thank you for taking the meeting. My name is Pete B. I'm a compulsive overeater and I'm recovered today by God's grace and mercy in Pennsylvania. And I'm on the road today and it's reminding me of my early days in a vision for you. So bear with me. In any case,
So, yeah, you know, like you hear about, you know, some of the things you hear, like all the requirements and the this and the, I don't, you know, I can't find that anywhere in the book. I can't find a lot of it in the book. You know what I mean? Like, you know, yeah, the fourth step and the fifth step and, you know, the ninth step, like, do they sound drastic? Yeah, you know, I guess they're drastic. And I guess I was intimidated by them when I first started coming around. But, you know, the most drastic proposal I think that there is, or the most drastic thing is, I got to put the food down. I got to keep it down under any and all conditions, any way that I have to figure out how to do it. The food has to go down and I have to keep it down. That's drastic. I'll never, ever, A, be able to ingest the substances that cause the phenomenon of craving. Right? You see, you know, what's interesting is that even after it's down, I'm delusional. And I negotiate with the condition. And I minimize it, right? I hear exactly what it says to do, but then I'll negotiate with it. It says to do this, but then I say, oh, only what this is only this. So I just have to do this. Right? Or, you know, it says, my disease, I know I have this disease, but you know what? Maybe this time it's going to be different. Or I could do a little bit of that, right? Or I'll hear somebody tell me something, and I'll hear exactly what they say, and then I'll start thinking, no, what they meant was this. And I'll go with, I think they meant. Right? So the drastic proposal was, you know, a drastic thing for me was, well, I got to start listening to what people say. I got to start listening to what the book says this disease is. I got to start doing what it says I have to do, right? And it tells me exactly what I have to do. Put the food down and have a spiritual experience. We get a lot of other resources, a lot of other tools we can use, and a lot of those things help produce the essential psychic change, right? But you know, what I have to remember is I have to take what the facts are. And the facts are in the book, but most importantly, the facts are from my experience. I have put myself in a position where my mind has become warped and my body has crossed over to a point where it will never, ever be the same. It will never, ever be what it was, even if it ever was that. Right? The negotiations have to stop. I have to stop watering down in my head what this program of action is, what this spiritual program of action is. I have to stop watering down in my head what you tell
That's
me.
That's fine, Pete.
Thank you, Kelly. Have a nice day.
All right, be safe driving. Thanks, Pete B. from Pennsylvania. And next up, we have Patrick O., followed by Justin C. Good morning, Patrick.
Good morning, everybody. This is Patrick from Tennessee, driving. Sorry if it's a little noisy. I just want to focus on the fellowship in that paragraph. Like the first word is, the first step is we. I can't do this alone. And what I did this time, when I first got into AA years ago, I had a group of guys I didn't know start picking me up and taking me to meetings and working me through the steps. This time I connected with a female and we went through the big book paragraph by paragraph. I read, I shut up. She spoke about her spirit, strength, and hope. When I did doctor's opinion, I went through my house while she was on the phone and got rid of food, threw it away, gave it away. I did a fourth and fifth step. When I did my fifth step with her, I was really scared about some of the stuff I wanted to share, but I checked it out with some men friends and they were like, yeah, go for it. I did it. And she actually gave me some insight about something that no one ever did before. I went and made amends to some people in that process. And I continue to reach out to people, and I'm so grateful for the fellowship. I talk to people on program every day. And now the next drastic thing for me is to sponsor people, and I am available to sponsor, and my name is on the list. And I appreciate you all, and thank you very much.
Well, thank you so much, Patrick O. from Tennessee. Next up, Justin C. from North Carolina, followed by Amy S.
Hey, everybody. My name is Justin C., a compulsive overeater from Charlotte, North Carolina. You know, recovered just for today. It's only by the grace of a power greater than myself I choose to call God that I'm here, you know, this morning. And thank you all for being here for your service. And I'm just so grateful, you know, for this call, for this line, you know, for the shared experience of everyone. And, yeah, you know, I can relate a lot to this concept here, you know, the lifelong conceptions, that have to be thrown out of the window, you know. And for me, as I've been reflecting with people sharing about that, you know, some of those lifelong conceptions were that I need to feel comfort by all means necessary. You know, that's been a lifelong conception, for as far back as I can remember. And also that I can think my way out of that discomfort, that my job is to think about how I can get rid of that discomfort and then to act on those thoughts. That has never worked for me. You know, and food for such a long time, it brought me that comfort that I needed. That was the action, you know. And so, you know, what really struck me about this paragraph right at the end there, after, you know, Fred talking about, you know, accepting these proposals and working these steps, that he had the curious feeling that my alcoholic condition was relieved, and as in fact it proved to be. And the truth is that, you know, I lack the power. I lack the power to bring forth in my consciousness, you know, the truth, what will happen if I take that bite, right? And me up against those thoughts, up against the disease in a fair fight, I lose out. I'm unable to bring forth in my memory, you know, the truth of being burned by the stove. But God is that power, you know. God will provide that for me. If I seek him, if I ask him to enter my heart, my life, my thoughts, my spirit, and work these steps with, you know, earnestness, the alcoholic condition can be relieved, you know. Even when a thought does come, God is there. You know, there is a second thought. There are actions provided that I can take. What a miracle, you know, to no longer struggle. You know, I want to be free. I want to live in the sunlight of the spirit today. I don't want to lurk in the shadows anymore where my life is just passing by moment, you know. To me, that is a death. You know, that is dying. I want to live for today. So that's all I've got. Thanks for letting me share.
Thanks so much, Justin C. again from North Carolina. And I think Amy S. is probably going to be our last share. So Ruben and Devorah, please either come back tomorrow or stay for the later meeting. All right. Good morning, Amy. You're up.
Hi, this is Amy S. from New Jersey. Compulsive overeater, recovered just for today by the grace of God. And I just wanted to share how grateful I am for this meeting. I'm pretty new to Vision, but I've been consistently coming now for like the past 3 weeks every morning, because the amount of recovery and experience, strength, and hope that is shared on this in this meeting is just amazing and uplifting. And yeah, you know, the reading and talking about taking drastic measures, you know, I remember feeling so resentful about like all the changes I needed to make in my life. Oh, I gotta weigh my food. I gotta pack it up. I can't go out to eat anymore because I, you know, for me, I was too scared in the beginning to like venture out and trust that I could just talk to them about what I needed for my food plan. So I tend to pack my food as opposed to eat out. And then I think about like how imprisoning my life was prior to coming in the program. So yeah, I'll do whatever I have to do, drastic, because I don't want to go back to being a what I felt like. I felt like a ghost just walking through life, not being seen, not just living on the sidelines, you know, not really living. And now I've relieved, you know, a lot of weight. I released a lot of weight. I'm sorry, I used the wrong word there. I am no longer stuck, you know, in the state of mind of depression and anxiety, isolating. I'm back to doing things, fitness journey, and visiting with people I haven't seen in years, because I'm alive, you know? I'm alive. And that's because of this program. And that's because of the drastic measures I have to take every day. But I don't care. I'm willing to take them and I want to take them. So thank you so much again, everyone, for your service. I am looking for sponsees. If anybody's on the line and needing a sponsor, please reach out to me, Amy S. from New Jersey. I'm on the phone list. So thank you. Great day. And I'll pass.
Kelly, you're muted. Press star one.
Well, here I go. Sorry about that. Okay, thanks, Amy, for wrapping us up. And also, if you guys stay on to the end of second hour, we do announce sponsors. It's a good time to get members then. Okay, so thank you guys for everybody who shared. Phenomenal meeting, as usual. Please join us for a second unrecorded hour of study immediately following the closing. The share ID for today, August 27th, in case you don't know what day it is, I never do, 21689, 21689. So we will now close with the reading from the big book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. So Colleen N., will you please read A Vision for You? Our book is meant to be suggestive only.
Hey, thank you, Kelly. Can I be heard?
Yes.
Colleen M. from Maryland, recovered compulsive overeater. Our book is meant to be suggested only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you.